Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Esther chapter 6. Esther chapter 6, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. On that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of records of the chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. And the king said, "What honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this?" Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, "There is nothing done for him." And the king said, "Who is in the court?" Now Haman was come into the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. And the king's servants said unto him, "Behold, Haman standeth in the court." And the king said, "Let him come in." So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, "What shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor?" Now Haman thought in his heart, "To whom would the king delight to do honor more than to myself?" And Haman answered the king, "For the man whom the king delighteth to honor, let the royal apparel be brought, which the king useth to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal, which is set upon his head. And let this apparel and horse be delivered into the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man withal, whom the king delighteth to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, 'Thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor.'" Then the king said to Haman, "Make haste, and take the apparel and the horse, as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew that sitteth at the king's gate. Let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken." Then took Haman the apparel and the horse, and arrayed Mordecai, and brought him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaimed before him, "Thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor." And Mordecai came again to the king's gate. But Haman hasted to his house mourning and having his head covered. And Haman told Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends everything that had befallen him. Then said his wise men and Zeresh his wife unto him, "If Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, but shalt surely fall before him." And while they were yet talking with him, came the king's chamberlains and hasted to bring Haman unto the banquet that Esther had prepared. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Every one of you just about has a grin on his face because the irony is so thick in this passage, is it not? The irony is very, very heavy. And so the Lord does show himself from time to time to make use of irony. It is a good way to communicate to us his mind. And so, you know, some people have looked at this passage and they say, "Oh, well, God has a good sense of humor." Well, let's not postulate things that are not necessary about God. But let us also say that God does use irony to communicate to us, because it drives that home, that point home more deeply, does it not? And so let's understand, first of all, then, that here in this passage, I think what leaps off of the page to any fair reader is the providential timing of all of these events. Okay, so first we had the decree for the pogrom, right? The decree to go out to destroy the Jews. Then we have the 3 days of fasting of Esther. All this in, you know, according to God's own time clock. All right, so then after that we have Esther coming into the king and being received and saying, O king, let me do this tomorrow at a banquet. Please, my request is that you and Haman will come to a banquet of wine. And so we saw that in the last chapter, right? And Haman went home and, his pride was, like we say it in our culture, we're surprised he could make it through the door, right? And so not only is his pride so inflamed that he's feeling his oats, but he's feeling his oats to the extent that he has a 50-cubit gallows built on his property to hang up Mordecai. That's the next thing on his clock. It's not the next thing on God's clock. The next thing on God's clock is to keep the king up tonight. He's going to stay up tonight. He's not going to be able to sleep. Secondly, he's going to continue to keep him up. Now, think with me for a minute here. This, I think, will be probably your experience as well as mine. The king says, man, I can't sleep. What'll put me to sleep? I know. Get the records out and read them to me. That'll make me sleep for sure. And what happens? They're reading the records and the king is up all night. As a matter of fact, Haman rises up early at the break of day to come into the king's court to make his request to hang Mordecai. And it's at the end of the reading of that, the king's still awake at the reading of the records, the tedious reading of those records. Ahasuerus is still wide awake, and he hears of a man named Mordecai who had protected him from wicked chamberlains who would have opened the door to those who could have killed him. Keepers of the door. Those are the most trusted of all, right? And so Ahasuerus is wide awake, and they say to him, here's this guy Mordecai, let's read about that. And the king says to them, well, what did we do for him? Did we honor him for saving the king? No, king, we didn't. Just kind of fell by, it slipped through the cracks. And so this sets up the morning for two impatient men meeting, right? One is impatient because he wants his enemy slain. And so he's at the king's door first thing. And so he walks in and he's ready to spill his message until the king interdicts with, again, a providential saying where Haman receives it as something that is inflaming his pride. He's particularly vulnerable to this kind of speech. The Lord knows this. And so providentially, after having the king up all night and finding that Mordecai goes unrequited for that which he has done for the king, he asks Haman this question. He interrupts him because Haman has an errand. He's urgent. But the king's errand is going to over-trump the errand of one of his princes. And so the king says to him, what shall be done for the man whom the king delights to honor? I want to honor a man, Haman. Help me work this out. How should I do it? Well, Haman thinks, this is for me. It's for me. And so he piles it on. Let him have your own crown. Let him have your own horse. Let him have your own apparel. And let him have one of your most noble princes to run in front of him saying, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor. In other words, my kingdom, you should be seeking my honor. And so the king Ahasuerus, and I don't know, the inspired writer doesn't say, but how do you suppose the countenance of Haman changed as the word Mordecai came out of the king's mouth? And I'll tell you what, Haman, you are one of my most trusted princes. You get to be the one that goes before Mordecai and proclaims, thus shall it be done for the man whom the king delighteth to honor. Well, it's quite an errand. And Haman is faithful. And so he does. And it takes just about all day. It goes into the afternoon hours as they run through the entirety of the province. And here's Mordecai in the king's robes with the king's crown on the king's horse. And Haman as his crier before him. Well, this is humiliating to Haman. He cannot have that kind of appreciation for the elevation of others. Let's take note of that. This is a wicked, wicked attitude. You say, well, Pastor, we're not like that, are we? Really? Whenever someone says something, or whenever someone says something about someone else, hey, did you take note of that? And we say, well, you know, I'm not too far behind that. He had a lot of help getting there. What are we doing? Well, we haven't covered our head in shame and hightailed it to our house like Haman did. But we've imbibed in the same kind of attitude, haven't we? When we cannot glory in the advancement of another. You know that's part of what we're commanded to do, right? That's part of what we're commanded to do, especially under the fifth commandment. We are commanded to glory in the advancement of others, to love them more than we love ourselves. Haman was incapable of such a mind as that. As a matter of fact, he was greatly humiliated, and he came to his house, and what did he do? He gathered his wife and his counselors, and he told them what had happened. Now, his wife and his counselors, pretty real in their response to him. They say to him, if this Jew, Mordecai, and notice the ancient animosity. This is a Jew. This is one of your ancient enemies here. If he is coming up, if his stock is rising, yours is obviously going down. You will soon fall before him. Now, if you're Haman, what are you going to do exactly at that moment? Well, let's get a plan together. Let's do something about this. And here again, interdicts the providence of God over Haman's plans. Immediately upon that, the chamberlains arrive at the door. It's time to come to the banquet that Esther has prepared. No time to make a plan. No time to gather the troops. No time to figure out how he's going to carry out any wicked designs on Mordecai. No plan to save himself. Except perhaps then he might have a false and illicit hope in, well, at least I have audience before the king and queen this afternoon. And so we end the reading right there. So let's then look forward to the reading of chapter 7. The uses that we make then? The uses that we make are especially poignant with regard to Haman's attitudes. He desired advancement for himself. Those who exalt themselves shall, not might be, shall be humbled. And those who humble themselves shall be exalted. Even in a bald temporal sense, we've already seen that, haven't we? Mordecai humbled himself at the decree and showed up at the king's gate in sackcloth. Remember that? And now, what did he wear around the province? The king's robes. He humbled himself, and temporally, he has already been exalted. But we will see this come to its full fruition by the end of the book, won't we? All right, thus ends the reading then of Esther chapter 6. Let's